Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Here's why I'm a big fan of SimpliSafe home security. SimpliSafe is ready for anything that gets thrown at it. For example, let's say a horrible storm, you know, those horrible hurricanes that hit the American Southeast, takes out your power. SimpliSafe is ready. Or an intruder cuts your phone line. SimpliSafe is there, totally ready to help you out. Say they destroy your keypad or siren. SimpliSafe will still get you the help that you need. And here's what I love most. And maybe it's overkill. Maybe you don't need to be ready for every worst case scenario, but I think you do. Because I'm an Eagle Scout, and as they say, be prepared. If you're not prepared, something horrible is going to happen to you. Your life could be in danger, but SimpliSafe could protect you. It really could. A storm, an intruder, all these horrible things, $15 a month, it's a small price to pay to make sure that your house, your pets, the ones that you love are totally secure. No contracts, no hidden fees. I totally recommend SimpliSafe to everyone I know. I checked it out. They do a great job, and you guys should too. Go to simplysafe.com/Charlie. That's simplysafe.com/Charlie. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the inaugural episode of the Charlie Kirk Show. We'll be with Don Jr. and Kimberly Guilfoyle in just a minute here. But I want to intro the show of why we're doing this program and just the vision. So for those of you that might not know, I'm the founder and executive director of Turning Point USA, the nation's largest student organization now present on 1,400 high school and college campuses across the country. We fight for free markets and limited government and American exceptionalism on high school and college campuses all across the country. For those of you that are familiar with the work that we do and familiar with my own kind of commentary and the writings that I do, I travel 340 days a year. I'm on the front lines of America's culture war, and that's what this show is all about, is we're going to be talking about the values that made this country the greatest country ever to exist. We're going to be talking about the deep-rooted philosophy behind it. We're going to talk about where I've been and what I'm doing and what I'm hearing. We're going to talk about the debates and the dialogue and the discussion from the halls of Congress to the campus lecture halls all across the country. Just so fired up to be able to do this in a long-form format. And if you're not yet subscribed and you're listening to this, you can do so by going to podcastone.com and subscribing to The Charlie Kirk Show, or you can go to Apple Podcast and subscribe to The Charlie Kirk Show, or you can go to charliekirk.com and subscribe there as well. And please do that and listen and share it. We're going to have some amazing, amazing guests from all sorts of different walks of different industry. We're going to be talking about the news of the day, but also just things, complexities in the news that you might not be hearing about. Different twists, different angles, different ways to look and process the information outside of the traditional mainstream media sources. And so I was honored just a couple days ago to sit with my very, very good friend, Donald Trump Jr. and Kimberly Guilfoyle, and talk about all of this stuff. And again, just so excited. Every Wednesday you can be listening to this show. Please subscribe. Please be engaged. And without any further ado, let's cut right into my amazing exclusive conversation with Donald Trump Jr. and Kimberly Guilfoyle.
Because, again, there are real penalties. There are real consequences for being a conservative. And that's why it's good to see others step up, recognizing that and mm-hmm. still doing it. Because that's what makes us what we are, as opposed to the other side.
And there's three things that, just examples, I'll say. There's more than three examples, but three specific examples of the president doing what he said he's going to do in defiance of ever all the uproar. Yeah. Kavanaugh's a great example.
Yes. 100%.
People said, you got to pull the nomination, got to run for the hills. And he had his back
against and guess what happened?
Fake accusations.
The day he got confirmed, guess what happened to all those accusations? Nothing. You would think that if a guy was, you know, brutally raping people for decades, you know, that there would be further investigation. But they knew it was a lie.
That's right.
They sold it anyway.
And one of
the
accusers,
same people, you know, Michael Avenatti, you know, he brings, oh, she said it 100%. You know, there's no background. There's no diligence. It sounded good.
Julie Swetnick was her name.
They wanted it to be true, so they do it.
That's right.
You know, just like they wanted Michael, oh, he's pushing back at Trump, so he's going to be a viable presidential contender.
From prison.
What did he do? His, as far as I'm concerned, his only actual accomplishment is that he managed to, this is pretty impressive though, I'll give it to him. He was able to be indicted on both coasts simultaneously
for
on the same day.
Things.
For two different
really
things.
Talented. That, really talented.
That is a skill set not many people have ever matched. So I will say, you know, but he was, in the words of CNN and MSNBC, who gave him hundreds of appearances, millions in free sort of earned media, he was a viable contender. Meanwhile, it went from Avenatti 2020 to Avenatti 2225 really quickly.
Oh, it might even be more than that now.
My favorite is, you know, for that week and that week alone, MAGA no longer meant Make America Great Again. It actually meant Michael Avenatti got arrested. Today, it's back to Make America Great Again. But for about a week, it was a better, you know.
Well, and he was the one that put forth Julie Swetnick, and he was the one that was tweeting at you the most pernicious and vile things.
And he wanted to fight.
I was getting indicted. I was going to jail. So listen, there's a little bit of, you know, a little bit of sweet revenge in that clown going to jail.
And the second thing that the president did that had such an uproar, and Don, you and I talk about this a lot, moving the embassy to Jerusalem.
Right. Of course. Phenomenal.
And every other president promises this. Republicans and Democrats. And what does the president do? He does what he said.
Well, and by the way, Charlie, like the reality of that situation, and we heard about it, right? The media said billions with a B. Not like millions, but billions of people were going to die. Right? You remember this.
World War
III. It was going to be the start of World War III. I go, man, that's big news because, you know, shit. Like, in all fairness,
civilization will be lost.
It passed the United States Senate like 99-0. Someone was sick that day. So I'm like, something that passes the United States Senate 99-0 has been de facto U.S. policy for decades, was promised by Bush, Clinton, other Bush, Obama. Like, all of a sudden, it's going to be. Guess what happened? Three people threw rocks for 14.2 seconds, and it was over. But like, you don't know. But we showed the world we got our balls back a little bit. We actually had a little bit of, you know, some guts. We had some resolve that had been missing for so long. Because, you know, if you put Obama in a corner, you knew he was going to fold.
That's right.
You know, he'd never stand up for anything America. God, you know, God forbid he didn't have to do another apology tour. You know, for. You know, apologizing for the great things that America has done for this world.
That's right. And we have made the world a better, safer place.
100%.
Well, that's why everything's on, you know, everything is really riding to on 2020 in terms of being able to continue all of this success, all the incredible economic metrics that, you know, the president's been able to accomplish. But they're scared of him because this is a guy, like you said, and I think he's so important as foreign prosecutor, I want to tell you, that he didn't try to hide anything. He didn't exert any privilege. He's like, I'm an open book. This is a sham investigation.
But he also gets no credit for it. Meaning,
Still say obstruction. Like, what did he obstruct? He tweeted? What are you kidding? He tweeted?
Well, he was mad about an investigation about, like, this dossier
You're allowed to be mad.
You're allowed to be pissed off. Guess what?
That's legally okay.
And then the lawyers opined, and he didn't do things. He was given options, but, like, you can want to do something and not do it because it's the right thing to do. Because guess what? Had he done it, he would have been totally within his rights. But then the media would have spent 4 years instead of two trying to kill him, pretend that it was real, you know, make it seem like they got it right, that they're being honest arbiters as opposed to just a total sham.
But the taxpayers should be mad. Look at all the money that they
million
wasted.
Dollars.
They could have been spent on other things.
And by the way, how about $30 million? How about the opportunity cost of all of the things he could have been doing and focusing on?
Infrastructure.
We haven't even talked about prison reform.
Yes.
Yeah.
We haven't. He's done not just the economy.
This witch hunt.
The economy after the worst recovery. I mean, I love Obama taking credit for the last the recovery. He goes, well, remember where that started. Yeah, oppressive tax policy.
Remember where it started.
Excessive regulation. All that. Guess
what? Obamacare, which was a killer.
There's a reason that every consumer confidence metrics went up on November 9th, 2016.
Exponentially.
Just through the roof. It wasn't because I said it. When he said that, I go, it was the dumbest statement in the history of both economics and politics.
Which is quite an accomplishment.
Because there's a lot of dumb shit that's been said. So, you know, but he took the cake with that one. And then you had people trying to rationalize it, but you really can't. I mean, the nonsense that, you know, the longest recovery in the history of the world magically took off, went through the roof on November 9th, because business finally saw, and employers and entrepreneurs make these things happen, they saw that they actually have a friend. By the way, more importantly, they knew that they weren't going to have an enemy in the White House.
That's right.
An enemy in the EPA. An enemy just where it's, you didn't build that. It's like, no. Most small businesses, they did build that. They did take those risks. They did take on that second mortgage to make it happen and invest and create.
But
and they employed. They did build that.
Yes. And the economics of what the president has done. And again, it's so easy. There's so much that has happened in 2 years. Think about the presidency. I mean, prison reform, tax cuts, denuclearization, summits. Makes you think what these other presidents have been doing for the last 20 years.
Right to try. First
but
step
just
back.
The economic metrics. If I was just no politics whatsoever, I don't care. I was just looking at the metrics. I say, wow, lowest ever stock market highs, lowest ever manufacturing optimism, lowest consumer price, you know, highest consumer price index, you know, most optimism for future of the economy, 80 80% of people feel better about the economy today than it's used. It's like,
right. So all
of those
things.
All of them.
Prison reform. You'd think that'd be a pretty good talking point for the other
Obama
side.
Obama never did it. Obama never got prison reform done with Democrats controlling both chambers. And you have silence.
And yet, well, beyond silence, you have Russia, Russia, Russia. You have the hysteria of that. Just look at, take the total number of minutes spent on what we all now know to be a hoax over the last 2 years and take 93% negative coverage. 93% with all of those incredible metrics, which are, by the way, 50x anything Obama could have hoped to accomplish, because we all knew that was going to fail. Because, listen, the reality is we entrusted the presidency of the United States with a guy who'd never actually accomplished anything in the real world.
No, he'd done nothing.
You know, he had an academic...
He was a short-term senator, too. People forget that.
He was a half-term senator.
He was a community organizer that passed out pamphlets that became
half-term
senator.
I mean, if signing petitions and getting people to do that is a skill set that qualifies you to be president, he's our guy. Anything else, you know, assuming it goes beyond that, he's probably not. But a guy who's actually created jobs, a guy who's actually had
managed people's
livelihoods dependent on his success, their family's well-being.
Run of a paycheck, not just
every day.
Back.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's a little bit different. And guess what? The results, they speak for themselves.
Totally. And the final thing I say is just the third example of the president standing up for doing what is right in defiance of all the elites and all the chatter when they said everything's going to end. Is when he canceled the Iran deal.
Yes.
That, for me, was just such an unbelievable moment, which, again, Obama, for whatever reason, the Obama administration's fixation on Iran, you can ask your own questions with that. John Kerry violating the Logan Act. You've got all sorts of different questions. I'm not going to say anything except ask questions.
Well, you give the world's leading state sponsor of terror $150 billion in cash. Not like...
Well, you're subsidizing
terrorism. They literally flew over pallets of cash. Like,
what are you just surprised it ends up in Hamas' hands?
This guy's a master negotiator. You know, I mean, no, but hey, I've said it. I used the example on the... You know, when you see these guys talking, like, a guy like a John Kerry making these decisions... Like,
he can't even ride a bike.
Oh, come on. The only smart decision he ever made, he married into a billionaire family, so he's up pretty well with that, so I guess he's a wonderful businessman, but he's never done anything. Like,
just condiments.
You wouldn't let John Kerry negotiate your car lease.
No.
But you're letting him negotiate a multi-hundred-billion-dollar
deal.
The biggest
enemy of freedom in the world.
Yeah, it's insane. And the results of that failure speak for himself. Well, but that's why 2020 is so important, because, you know, taking on the deep state, taking on the swamp. We've done a great job of that, but they're not just going to go away.
No.
They're not just going to say, oh, you know what, he's here, we're going to... You need time to root out those institutions of evil at this point.
Yes.
Because that's all they are. I mean, these are the buddy-buddy system in D.C. The fact that the D.C. economy and the areas surrounding it are as powerful as they are, creating absolutely nothing other than peddling influence... You know, that has to be broken up. But the only way to do that is, honestly, with time.
Mm-hmm. And another 4 years.
These institutions are in there. They're there. They're entrenched. You need time to get those people out and try to put other people in.
Little did people know, when you heard it so often on the campaign, it really resonated with people, like, drain the swamp. Little did we know how bad the swamp really was, to the point where it was criminal in terms of their focus and targeting an American family that was just trying to serve the country that could have been doing anything else. It's really awful.
And undercutting the president's interests. And, I mean, the president, a lot of times, has been fighting alone.
No.
I mean, he has some great people around him. I mean, you know, we have a lot of admiration for Jared and Ivanka and people that are loyal. But there have been people that have been going through that building that have not been loyal.
And again, it's hard. Don't forget, I mean, the one disadvantage we always had was we were always working from
a deficit, right?
We never, you know, it wasn't like, hey, we did it. We spent a year or two in Congress and, you know.
Or like Hillary, you have people for 50 years waiting for jobs.
And you didn't have a team. Even the RNC at the time in 2016, they were like, hey, you know what? We're just going to chalk this one up as a loss and we'll move on. Like, you know, I think they get it because I think, you know, again, other than, you know, there's a tinfoil hat brigade on the right, too. Don't get, you know, the crystals of the world and the boots of the world that, you know. These guys, they haven't been right in 40 years, but they want you to be, you know, they are the, you know, the pillars of conservatism.
Yes,
they're the reason that conservatism would have been gone.
The intellectuals gone.
Yeah, we
must
acknowledge
that. That's why they're
wonderful.
Talking about impeachment. When you talk about all the accomplishments that President Trump has been able to do, essentially in record time, in just 2 short years of his presidency, despite their concerted effort to try to undermine him at every step of the way, they don't want to run against Trump in 2020.
No.
Because they can't.
They can't beat him.
I say they should all do it. I would love to see, you know, Bill Kristol run against my father. They would last about,
You got this Bill Weld guy from Massachusetts.
Yeah, that's
going
to go well.
Zero. And, I mean, the guy, The guy's a loser. I mean, he ran as a libertarian vice president last time to a guy who didn't know what Aleppo was in Syria.
Remember that?
I mean, no, it was a total disaster.
I destroyed it.
So, by the way, I actually think Bill Weld running is actually going to help Trump. It's going to be like, wait, this is the Republican Party. That's the alternative. It's going to fasten up his support.
Well,
and it's kind
right.
of an annoyance in some way. This is me talking, and I think it's my own way of looking at it. But for the impeachment question, mm-hmm. it's unbelievable, Kim. And by the way, there's only been two presidents ever that have been impeached. No one has ever been removed from office because of impeachment. Mm-hmm. Only Bill Clinton and Andrew Johnson were impeached. And Bill Clinton actually did better after impeachment. Mm-hmm. And so if this is really their big grand scheme, of course, I don't hope it happens. You don't want it on the resume. You don't want it as a talking point. For what, though? I mean, I actually asked somebody on Fox. I said, what did he do? Oh, it's on the report. Tell me what's in the report.
Show me.
Because I must have missed it. Oh, obstruction.
Well, but
what are you talking about? He tweeted?
Even the talking
You're going to impeach a president because he tweeted? Are you kidding me?
No,
even the talking points about the report, it's like, well, that's not actually what the report said. Like,
it doesn't
matter though, because it's literally as though they're only getting it. They're getting the DNC talking points, and they're running with that. And because there's so few in the media that will actually take on the insanity and that gospel and dogma that is, you know, the leftist mentality. It's just out there as fact, and they can sit there and laugh about it at their cocktail parties. But the reality is, I think they've gone so far each and every time. They've overplayed their hands so many times. I do think the American people are onto it, and they get it.
And you heard it here first. The worst thing that could have possibly happened to their party and their chances is Joe Biden running. And I'm going to tell you why. Because Joe Biden is now going to have to go on the record endorsing abolishing the Electoral College.
Yeah.
Endorsing the Green New Deal.
If you live anywhere other than New York and California, abolishing the Electoral College, which, by the way, I think everyone that's announced has already... It means that if you live anywhere
Bill
other
Clinton
than those two
benefited
places,
from it,
you
by
get
the way.
No, you'll get no support. You're going to let people and probably all the people
like five
who are,
cities.
All the dead people that are voting in those... They're going to have
Chicago.
More say than a hardworking farmer in Iowa. I don't think that's what America wants.
I mean,
our founding father spent a lot of time, crafting probably the greatest document ever.
The greatest political document
down,
ever. That's exactly
probably
right.
Document, period.
Yes.
To avoid just this. And the leftists, that are all running, and basically going left of Mao at this point, they want to eliminate that because they don't want you to have a voice. They want... the people in sanctuary cities and illegals to have more of a voice. And, I used to say this almost facetiously in the past. It literally seems like, I can't fathom any other point that they're trying to make. This is what it is.
They want illegals. They want people.
What about today? They want... The Boston bomber
I can't wait for Biden to be able to vote from prison while he's serving a life sentence
for killing Americans. He should get to vote. I mean, this is the Democrat
unconscionable
base.
Stuff. And so just for all the this is really interesting though. The citizens of Massachusetts, you remember the Boston bombing, you remember where it happened. Your US Senator, Elizabeth Warren, needs to answer whether she thinks the Boston bomber should be able to vote. Your US Senator. Because Bostonians died at the hands of the Tsarnaev brothers. You really want these guys to be able to vote? You think convicted terrorists? You think this is the issue facing America? Hold on a second. We got some problems, and Trump is fixing them. But the number one issue that the Democrats want to embrace now, their badge of honor issue, is to bring voting rights back to terrorists.
Please own that issue.
But this is for
identity crisis.
For Joe Biden now, he's going to be put on the record. I've been watching this guy for long enough. Here's my prediction. They're going to say, former Vice President Biden, what do you think about the Electoral College? Oh, get rid of it. Oh, okay. What do you think about Green New Deal? Oh, I think it could be better, but it's fine. Okay. What do you think about it? Finally, he's going to snap. And he's like, this stuff is crazy. He's going to say it. And it will start a civil war in the Democrat Party. And
because it is crazy.
Bon appetit.
But Charlie, by the way, you brought it up. So, I mean, let's talk Green New Deal. I mean, think about it. No. Seriously. Because every major contender that's announced.
Take a bus or a plane.
Every major contender that's announced on the left.
They're afraid
they're
not
saying,
to support
this is a wonderful plan. So they're literally taking a cue from a freshman congresswoman who 3 weeks ago.
Bartender.
3 weeks ago, did not know the three branches of government. So they're running with it. But let's talk. Let's break it down a little further. $93 trillion. It seems wonderful. Except the U.S. government gets $6 trillion in revenue a year. So if they pay for nothing, no military, no infrastructure, no Medicaid, nothing. No anything.
Every
no
country no in the roads, world. No
they just nothing. Focus on cows farting and, you know, magic buses that can get to Hawaii underwater somehow. If they did nothing but that for 15 years, they'd pay for it. And the talking point is, no, it's going to pay for itself. How? Show me how. Explain. How about this? Better plan. Mitch McConnell, I'll give him credit on this one. Okay, guys, it's so wonderful. You all endorse it. Let's vote on it. Oh!
How dare you?
How dare you let us vote
you
on a policy
person.
That we all endorse? This is political folly. Well, no. Your sound bites are political folly. The fact that it goes unchecked is political folly. The fact that no one in the media says, you know what, we're worried about, you know, $20 trillion in debt, but we're not worried about blowing $93 trillion on farting cows. Like, I don't know. You know, hey.
Like the way he says that.
It's been a while since I was at Wharton, but it doesn't seem to make sense.
And then no one dares challenge it. No one dares question it.
Well, they're really bad at math. There's no way to pay for it.
But my favorite part of the Green New Deal, my favorite part of the whole thing, is what was in the original draft, where they said, we want to pay people unwilling to work. Now, they were like, oh, it's a mistake. No,
it said it right there.
I want to know who wrote that, because somebody wrote it somewhere.
Yeah.
Unwilling to work. So bums. Yeah. Like, money for bums. That's what the Green New Deal is. Like, money for lazy bums that don't want to work.
But Charlie, that's going to pay for itself.
No, it's going to pay for itself.
It's wonderful.
But
that's the reality. Listen, you know, the worst is watching just Nancy Pelosi, you know, just totally get hijacked by three freshman congresswomen, you know.
Yes, she can't handle it.
By the way,
not even a fathom of, you know, and the other two that, man, they feel like they're all Islamists. Like, I don't know how to say it any other way. You're looking at quotes. I mean, I put out a tweet yesterday, you know, about Omar, where she's literally, it feels like she watched Black Hawk Down and was, like, rooting for the Somalis.
No, she watched Black Hawk Down and she was, like...
It's not like they're innocent Somalis.
It's like she was happy that they were pinned in Mogadishu.
Great. These aren't innocent. These were, like, terrorists.
Seriously, though.
This
is unbelievable.
I mean, she called American soldiers killers for literally running a peacekeeping operation and fighting against terrorists.
Here's the irony of it, though. Against the radical terror groups that persecuted her village that made her come to America.
Right.
It was American soldiers that literally were fighting on her behalf that she calls killers.
Some people did something. Okay.
Oh, yeah, but some people just did something. We have to remember that.
So admit it. You think that cybercrime is something that happens to other people. Look, I use this product all the time. There are foreign governments. There are bad actors, criminals, you name it, hacking into cell phones, hacking into computers. I found that I need an EPN. So I use ExpressVPN. I use it all the time. It's on my computer. It's on my cell phone. It protects my devices. It protects my text messages. It protects my credit card information, my passwords. If you use any sort of public Wi-Fi, use any sort of data usage, you need a VPN. So that's why I decided to take action to protect myself from cyber criminals, bad actors, anyone that might want to get into your device. I use ExpressVPN. Why? Why would I use ExpressVPN? It secures and anonymizes your internet browsing by encrypting your data and hiding your public IP address. So think of it as almost a way to have a private connection for all your data that no one can get in. As easy to use apps that run seamlessly in the background of your computer, phone, and tablet. So all my stuff, my phone, my computer, I have ExpressVPN. Turning on ExpressVPN protection only takes one click. I do it all the time. Using ExpressVPN, I can safely surf on public Wi-Fi without being snooped or having my personal data stolen. So those passwords, pictures, all that stuff that you might not want to be public, you need to secure it. For less than $7 a month, you can get the same ExpressVPN protection that I have. ExpressVPN is rated the number one VPN service by TechRadar and comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. You see all these people that have their text messages, their emails, their passwords. Hundreds of millions of people have their stuff compromised, but you can prevent it by using ExpressVPN. Protect your online activity today and find out how you can get 3 months free at expressvpn.com/Charlie. That's right. That's expressvpn.com/Charlie. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. For 3 months free with a one-year package, visit expressvpn.com/Charlie to learn more. 2020 is going to be the most important election in our nation's history. It's not even close. President Trump and the RNC have already posted record fundraising numbers, right, Don? And assembled an outstanding staff. But now they're asking for your help to build the winning grassroots support network. I'm totally involved with the Trump campaign personally, myself personally, and with the RNC. So here's what you can do. You can text CHARLIE to 88022 and receive official Trump alerts directly to your phone. I get them all the time, by the way. They can be around news. They can be around rallies. They can be around action items. You'll gain exclusive 2020 updates directly from President Trump himself. Be the first to know when Trump merchandise is available, and you'll even be able to give your input on key issues. Again, I get these alerts, and you should too. All you have to do is text Charlie, C-H-A-R-L-I-E, to 88022. Look, we all know that the mainstream media, fake news, will never be honest about President Trump and Republicans. They're professional liars. So you got to make sure you get the news directly from the source by texting Charlie to 88022. Again, be sure to text Charlie to 88022 today. This was paid by the Trump Make America Great Again Committee, a joint fundraising committee authorized by and composed of Donald J. Trump for President, Inc. and the Republican National Committee that is dedicated to making America great again.
So we were talking about 2020, and you got, you know, Vice President Joe Biden leading a lot of the polls. And you got, Don, I got to give you credit. I use this and I got to give you attribution. The best nickname for Bernie Sanders is Breadline Bernie.
Yeah. You know,
I have to say.
It's true. I mean, he's literally advocating for policies that have never succeeded anywhere in the world. You know,
and your grandparents came from that communist.
Yeah.
So talk about that.
Well, you know, I mean, that's the real. That's sort of how, you know, people say, well, listen, you're from a New York family, New York City, you went to an Ivy League school. Like, you know, how are you a Republican? And the reality is that, you know, my maternal grandfather was, you know, a blue collar guy from what was then communist Czechoslovakia. Mm-hmm. And from about the age of five, he had the conversation with my father. You know, he recognized how blessed and how privileged we were to have, you know, the lifestyle and, you know, the wealth that we had, and all of the opportunities that, you know, that come from that. But he also said, you should see the other side. And so my father actually very much agreed. And it was sort of a big sort of concept with him, with us growing up. You know, we always had to work, whether, you know, maybe we didn't need to, but it was like, you're going to, congratulations. And it was an important foundation for my life. So from about the age of six, and, you know, my grandparents, you know, were pretty involved in our lives. I spoke Czech fluently.
Wow.
So I'm about the five or six, I'd go over there with him for, you know, 4 to 6 weeks every summer.
Wow.
And, you know, I remember the first time I'm going, and this is, you know, communist Czechoslovakia under Soviet rule. I mean,
yeah,
this is
sure.
One of the great, you know, arguments that, well, Don Jr. speaks fluent Czech. You know, that must be a Russian link. I'm like, you know, if anyone knows basic European history.
Was he in Prague? I don't know. Maybe.
The Czechs don't exactly love the Russians after 40 years of occupation. Like, let's, you know, in all fairness. But, you know, that doesn't matter. It's, you know, the soundbite was there. But so I went over there, and I remember the first time I go over there, and it's one of the few sort of, you know, memories I have sort of preteen where you, like, distinctly remember, because I remember actually being afraid. I was, you know, I had, like, this, like, it was pretty rock star, you know, kind of, you know, blue jean jacket, but it had, like, stars on it, like, almost like an American flag, but without the American flag. And like, they literally, going through customs, were like, you can't wear that here. Because it was a representation of American freedom.
Wow.
And like I thought I was going to be in trouble. I took it off, put it in my bag. I wore it when I got into the town, the small town, sort of, you know, 4 hours outside of Prague, Zlín, you know, where we grew up. And it was, you know, there's the woods, I'll see you at dark. It's older, where I also got my passion for, you know, my grandfather.
Outdoors.
He was an old school guy. He wasn't going to sit there and, you know, coddle a 5-year-old. It was like, there you are. Like, go have fun. You know, got me into so many of the hobbies that I was into, but he wasn't going to watch me all day. So it was a great sort of freedom that I didn't have necessarily in New York City. But, you know, I remember putting this on again there, and, you know, you'd see, like, the kids that you'd become friends with in the neighborhood, they're like, yeah, just can't be around me with that.
Wow.
And so, you know, I saw, you know, these policies. You know, my mother escaped from what was then communist Czechoslovakia, you know, as an athlete on the Czech national ski team, you know, not because the policies were so wonderful, you know, but because, I mean, she risked leaving there.
She risked everything.
Perhaps never being able to see her. You know, you didn't know what was going to happen, right? If you basically defected, you know, maybe you'd never see your parents again. Maybe something happened to them. But, you know, they all said, hey, it's worth it for you to escape, you know, this. And there she did it. But she did it legally.
Right.
Sure.
You know, and so you know, from a young age, I mean, I saw what these, you know, socialist policies did. You know, I saw the poverty that they created, you know, and really even this notion that even if you worked harder, better, smarter, faster than others, there was no real reward for it.
So it sort of guaranteed your life would get better.
It just encouraged
sort
of mediocrity. So some of these people that I knew, and I knew these people, you know, who are, you know, it's just hard working Eastern European, you know, people, there's no incentive to work even you know, beyond doing the absolute minimum. And you see what that does to someone's spirit. And again, I was too young to think of it necessarily in political terms, but I remember it so distinctly. I see it today. My grandmother's 93 now. She's still alive. You know, she'll come over here, you know, for a couple months, you know, every year, spend the summer with us. And I mean, she's watching CNN, right? Because she's European, and it's what they know and what they
see.
She called. Don't come here. She's in tears.
Yes.
You know, we're speaking in Czech. Don't they understand? Don't they get it? Meaning, you've never seen someone be an advocate for socialism or communism who's actually lived through it.
That's exactly
you've never
right.
seen that. It doesn't exist. You only have people that talk about it in hypothetics.
In theory.
And in theory, you know, but without any practice. You know, so, you know, Bernie's wonderful, you know, honeymoon, you know, in Soviet, Moscow.
He did honeymoon in the Soviet
you
Union.
You know, must have been, you know, made a wonderful impression. But the reality is, for most people, it's not. I mean, this
Which
is a woman.
Actually worries me even more that he actually saw it firsthand and then still advocates
and
for
this
it.
Isn't, this isn't a woman who, you know, hasn't experienced crap in her life. You know what I mean? This is a woman, you know, she lived through World War II. She lived through the Nazis invading Czechoslovakia. She lived through, you know, Russian occupation.
Wow.
You know, this is a woman that, you know, like, a lot of bad stuff can happen before she reacts viscerally or negatively just because she's much tougher than we'll ever be. Right? But when I see her literally almost break down in tears trying to explain to me, like, no, I know. I'm on the leading edge of the fight against this crap.
Wow.
You know, she can't even fathom that we're even having a conversation, let alone, like, that, hey, there are people advocating these policies that are leading contenders for the major political party on the other side. You know, again, this isn't your grandfather's Democratic Party anymore. They've lost their way.
Leading by a lot in some
ways. Oh, of course. Well, because it's easy to say, hey, I'm going
to
give you everything. Everything is free. It's not. It's just not the way the real world works. But, you know,
unwilling
you know, in millennial culture, with everyone having a participation medal, and it's hard for, you know, it's harder to say this and sell it as, you know, as the son of a rich guy. I recognize that, but I'll put that out there as the caveat. You know, I get that I've been blessed and all of these things, but, like,
you
know,
every
yeah,
too,
no, yeah, yeah, free college, sure, it's just free. Well, it's not.
It's not
free. This, it's not free. It's got to come from somewhere. Mm-hmm. And the reality is, these policies, we don't make as much as a country to pay for even a fraction of these things,
well,
like the Green New Deal. And it's there's a real risk. You push this nonsense, it could destroy what America has created.
Absolutely.
You know, the hegemony that we've created for 200 years. I mean, and we're giving
do.
It away. They would love
and,
to.
And there's two big things that Bernie Sanders focuses and capitalizes on. He has convinced young people that they truly are oppressed and that they're victims. What are they oppressed
They've
from?
Had it better than any generation
I mean,
in the history of the world.
That their Uber Eats is
well,
5 minutes later, that Netflix isn't streaming.
Well, no, but you know, they want to get a PhD in underwater basket weaving and go to college for 14 years and have a... But like,
no responsibility.
No, well, and then not work.
It's
and
supposed
be
to be
miserable.
Free. There's they can't they wonder why they can't get a job because there's just not a big market for that. Like, fine, you know what? If all these people said, hey, okay, I'm gonna go get an electrical engineering degree,
right?
You know what? I'd be more apt to pay for it. But the sort of this notion, I'm gonna be a permanent student, I'm gonna enter the workforce at 45,
professional student.
I'm gonna want to make $500,000 a year selling goods that no
and
one there's
no
market
debt.
For,
yeah,
no debt. It's not realistic,
no,
it,
not at
it,
all.
It doesn't work because it's got to come from somewhere, but again, you know. These policies can't just pay for themselves. There's no offset. And by the way, beyond that, they'll be so detrimental to actual business that does
That's
create
right.
value, that does create a taxable base, you know, that there's actually much less to go around once these policies are enacted.
Totally.
So, I mean, it's literally a vicious cycle. You know, creating perpetual poverty.
Well, that's why people have to really examine the issues and pay attention to this, because what you've seen is such a disservice by the media, because they are carrying the water for these really unsustainable policies. There's no way to pay for any of this. There's no, you know, infrastructure in place. It's free education. It's free health care. It's the Green New Deal. All of it is going to be just irreparable harm to this country, and they are literally going to shapeshift America into something we do not realize, recognize, you know, and hopefully people will get it together for 2020, because it's all on the line.
Listen, the reality is, America, we have enough enemies. We face enough challenges every day. Our biggest enemy shouldn't be from within. Our
That's
biggest
right.
challenge shouldn't be from within. And it, you know, with these policies and the things that
totally
we're trying
agree.
To be sold and the lies that are being told to the American public.
And the
know,
free pass they get from the media
well,
is stunning.
Of course.
It's that it just goes unchallenged.
Zero credit. Just literally. Take any event that's happened over the last 2 years, good or bad for the presidency. Right. Now, it's going to be 93% negative coverage. Put the shoe on the other foot. There'd be a total pass or it'd be a win. If Obama had all-time low African-American unemployment,
prison
all-time
reform.
Low female, had he actually tried to even do anything on prison reform, had he even attempted, let alone actually getting it done?
Tax cuts, reform, energy independent, ISIS being destroyed.
He would have gone down as the greatest president ever. Meanwhile, he did nothing. He gets a Nobel Prize.
Mm-hmm. For getting elected.
He's still lauded at all these things. What did he do? He gave up American power and superiority. He ceded
Obama
ground in the Middle East.
He made us less safe.
Everywhere in the world got worse after Obama. Yeah. Everywhere.
By the way, he doubled our national debt, which no one talks about because they make, oh, it's 22 trillion. Oh, you added $1 trillion. It's like Obama added.
It started at 10
so
trillion.
Much more
when
than
he
that.
Entered,
yeah. By the way, half of what we're adding now is just the interest because guess what? You got to pay interest too.
Right. That's right.
It's cumulative and aggregating.
$350 billion a year in interest.
You take it from 10 to 20, just your interest bill alone is going to start.
It's $400 billion a year.
$400 billion.
This is the new normal. That's what
well, yeah, and then
well, 100%. I mean, well, he sold America a bill of goods. Mm-hmm. The New York Times ran with it like it was gospel.
Yep.
When my father said, "Hey, why can't we have 3%? Why can't we hit 4%? Why can't we do better than that in GDP growth?"
You need a magic wand.
There's no magic wand for that, Donald. Well, there is. It's just not your bullshit policies that have failed for decades. It's not oppressive regulation. It's letting capitalism work. It's not oppressive taxation. You know, and identity politics.
22 regulations cut for every
all of these things dead. And guess what? We did it. The New York Times totally backed Obama like he was this great economic sage saying, no, this is the new normal. This is perfectly normal. It's never going to get better than that. We've literally not had one quarter that hasn't overperformed all of Obama's.
That's right.
And, it's an anomaly. It's this. There's always a freaking excuse.
There's always an excuse.
There's always an excuse, but never an explanation.
Correct.
They can't explain, but they can be quick to excuse. And what President Trump has done with all this, it's so miraculous is the word that I use, with all the contributing factors, everything being thrown against him, the economic success, the foreign policy success, while under special investigation.
Correct.
With the special
imagine,
counsel.
Charlie, what he could do without that headache.
Oh, my goodness. But just for the country,
when
isn't
they're
it?
Saying, it's like, they're throwing you in jail. They're going to impeach you. They're throwing your family in jail for these fictitious crimes. You know, it's not a great swing thought
but
to deal with everything else.
Not for my sake, for the country's sake.
Well, how about people should be happy that, in fact, there was no collusion?
Disappointed. You should be celebrating. Like, okay, our president is not bought by a foreign adversary.
The Democrats
great.
Are actually upset that the president isn't, as they said, an agent of the Russian government. They're actually upset that he's not.
Disappointed.
I mean, think about that. They wanted him. They wanted the president of the United States to be an agent
They were cheering
think about that.
For that.
Right.
It's unbelievable.
I never thought I'd see the day, but you know, every day they managed to come up with something new and something crazier that you couldn't fathom as an old school Democrat.
That's right.
You know, back when they actually cared about America and Americans.
Well, and,
so they can't. There's nothing on paper that shows that they actually do anymore.
Well, and so this is it's all going to come in.
People walking away from the party.
And you're going to see a lot of people
Democrats.
Coming back to Trump. A lot of people. That didn't even support him in 2016, and I know a lot of people that are like that. And this will be the most bloody. You heard it here first. The most bloody Democrat primary in American history, if not the most bloody primary, because they hate Trump so much they can't see straight, and they're soon going to realize the only thing getting in the way of them being the guy against Trump is these 15 other Democrats. And then here's what will happen: is the Democrat gospel has been written on identity politics, and when Joe Biden or Bernie Sanders is doing well, they are the three things you are not allowed to be. They're old, they're white, and they're male, and they will go after that very aggressively.
Well, they stole it from Bernie Sanders last time.
That's right. Well, they stole the nomination, and so then Kamala Harris or Cory Booker or Tulsi Gabbard or Buttigieg are all going to use identity politics, which again, that is the worst way to run a country.
No, they're already doing it.
You
see Buttigieg, he's going out there trying to take on Mike Pence, who literally has not said anything bad about him
who
since 2015. The last time he said, hey, we have a great working relationship, he's a good guy.
He just picks a fight. Who's the bully?
He's just because he needs to make himself relevant. It's insanity, but it's going to be fun to watch because.
But it's not going to be good for the country. I don't think
it's
good.
Not. It's not.
That's what really upsets me. It's not
again,
good for America.
So for me, there's an element where it's become personal just because of what each one of these
of
people
course,
has literally tried
through.
To do. Through,
yeah.
So I'm like, okay,
thank
it'll
you
be
for
fun.
Your honesty.
Yeah, I'll be candid about it. No, it's not a good look, but there'll be an element of that. At the same time, I'll be out there fighting every day to make sure that my father's doing what he's doing, what he was put in this office to do. Which is, candidly at this point, when you look at the alternative, it's save the Republic, it's save conservatism,
exactly.
Save democracy. Because the other side can't, they don't even believe it anymore. No, I mean, like I said, whether it's the Electoral College, whether it's the notion of socialism,
terrorist voting,
voting, you know, murderers voting. I mean, what? This is their platform. I mean, it's insane.
No, you're, it's
no,
true.
But honestly, like, I'm very worried about voter fraud because of that. I mean, you see what like this Tom Fitton's been doing.
If it wasn't, if there wasn't a possibility that this stuff could actually get it enacted, it'd be an incredible parody of itself. But it's actually scary.
But it's real life.
Because it could happen.
In some way, it feels like a Monty Python skit. Where it's like, $93 trillion, we're going to get rid of the farting cows. It's like, you can't make the, like, no, it's actually policy that's been introduced to the United States Congress.
That's crazy.
And and it wouldn't be,
let's get rid of Amazon. I'm not necessarily a fan, you know, we're certainly not, the Amazon Washington
Jeff
Post.
Jeff Bezos has a lot of problems.
But like, as a New Yorker, you have 25,000 high-paying, six-figure jobs.
Great
just
comps.
Chase them out. You know, New York is a disaster in and of itself because of the same policies where they were. So, you know, you do that. You have a place that wants to be a sanctuary city, but is also wants
to...
Let's
talk about that. Yeah, so, wait. So President Trump says, we're going to send the illegals to sanctuary cities, and they freak out.
They freak
How
out.
How dare you want to send illegals?
This is insane. But you
Cher had
them.
A meltdown.
You literally... Cher...
Well, Cher had it for the right reason. I will
De Blasio
give Cher.
Wants to sue the administration... for giving them what they were fighting
Wait,
for.
I thought they'd commit less crimes. I thought they're wonderful people.
I've never heard anyone not take yes for an answer. Like, you wanted it? Okay. Oh, outrage.
I thought we were supposed to tear down the walls, Robert Francis O'Rourke.
It's almost
O'Rourke.
Like they're speaking from both sides of their mouth. You know,
well, it's almost like that.
It's almost
and
like
And
it.
You know what's amazing to think? So, in this, we're right now in spring.
Sure.
This is so early. Right. If you look back to 2016... Donald Trump did not announce for the presidency till June of 2015.
Right.
We are now in the equivalent of April, almost 60 days before Trump even announced his presidency.
And you have 19 people running.
You have 19 people, over $100 million collectively raised
Check
on their
Twitter.
Side.
Maybe someone else jumped in.
No, maybe somebody else jumped in. Maybe some obscure congressman is trying to get a book deal that we've never heard
of. The real
of.
Problem, because I'd like...
Yeah, some city council, like some reclamation water district manager from
like
Oklahoma.
You have these people jumping in that no one's ever heard of. They're jumping in.
We have mayors running for president,
get a book
okay?
Deal. They'll get a book deal. They'll be relevant a little bit for 2 weeks. I mean, it's literally a PR stunt for
That's
most
all
people.
It is, yeah.
So, you know, the real problem is I'd actually like to hear from the people who actually maybe have a chance of being the nominee, but they're going to dilute that crazy by giving people who really have no business being there, whether it be through experience, whether it be through actual chance of happening, whether it be through accomplishment, anything. You know, but they're doing it because, hey, why not?
This feels like the 1972 election where the Democrats nominated George McGovern, and they thought they had found the great white hope. He gave a speech at 3 o'clock in the morning at the convention in Miami,
Charlie,
Florida.
Are you being racist?
No, I said great white hope.
Boy, well, it sounds like identity politics,
oh, no.
Charlie.
So he was the great
you're not
colorless hope.
Anymore.
He
you
was
the, to him on
you're
Twitter.
Not allowed to say that.
He
anymore.
Was the great colorless hope,
okay.
Non-binary hope. And
how do you know?
Well, because
I actually wasn't
alive in 1972, so I wouldn't know.
By the way, you weren't even close to being.
No, I was like 20 years removed, but I did read about it. And George McGovern lost basically every state except one to Richard Nixon, and I think it's on the verge of landslide type stuff. When you have a whole party where their whole thing is, if you don't support impeachment, you're going to lose votes.
Okay. I'd agree with you, but...
I don't want to take it for granted. I'm not trying to say
that. No, I'd agree with you based on facts...
And logic.
Based on any metric you want to, you know, based on any economic metric, based on any social metric. By the way, based on
foreign policy, right?
Metric,
ISIS is dead.
There's not a metric in existence where we are not better off today than we were, let's call it 3 years ago under Obama.
Not
okay?
One metric.
Not one. But the mistake you make, Charlie, is you assume that we're in a fair fight.
I think
we're
right.
We're not in a fair fight. Because, again, the other side, they can gaffe. They can, you know.
Well, they have the media.
The best is watching Trump. You know, get up, and he's making a joke. You know, he's at a rally. The best, you know, Russia, you should really go after Hillary's emails. Oh my God, Trump said that. When?
It's called.
Well, he said it yesterday. Oh, did he give this? Like, was this a directive he spent to? No, no, he said it in Michigan. I was like, to who? You know, well,
5,000 people.
You mean he said it at a rally in front of 25,000 people?
Yeah,
and
they
like,
can't take
it. You know, that's seriously him asking for the Russians for like the media pretending. You know, when they know he's joking, when every American knows he's joking, they're doing themselves a disservice, by the way. I don't mind it because they're shooting themselves in the foot. I mean, no one has done a better self-own of an entire profession than media over the last few years.
So true.
So it's good to see, you know, they've opened up routes for, yeah, I mean, honestly, for people like you and I, for Cage, to actually have a voice you know, that actually gets real impressions, that actually makes a difference, that actually moves the needle, because no one trusts the conventional source that they used to go to anymore because they're not honest dealers. But we'd have an easy win if it wasn't for the fact that, again, you got 93 and probably worse percent people that will do whatever they can.
That's right.
Will manipulate any stat, will omit any truth, will omit any facts to basically be able to say, no, 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 but this.
Well, and I the greatest
you can't
example.
Forget, you can't forget how insurmountable that is. I mean, you and I saw it on the campaign 2016 where I'm saying, man, I'm watching stuff about me saying, oh, man, I'm a pretty terrible person based on these guys. Like,
we're like, we're down by 32 in Michigan. We're not going to win that.
We live it every day. We see it. But, you know, guys that consume 5-10 minutes of media a day and it's just all negative.
And some of them are good people.
It's hard to overcome that. You see that with Bernie. You know, he ran that ad in Ohio last week. Well, one plant was shut down and Trump promised jobs. Well, yeah, fine. He promised. Guess what? 93% are getting a benefit. Manufacturing's going through the roof.
The highest
that doesn't
optimism.
Mean that every company in existence is always going to do, is always going to add, isn't going to have to make a change. But when 93% of it, but you highlight the one, and that's the only thing that gets attention. That's the only thing that commands airspace. Mm-hmm. You know, other people, even if they're getting the benefit of that, even if they're seeing the winning and they're seeing their neighbors and their neighbors' friends and their family winning, they say, well, maybe we're just the only ones. And that's hard to overcome.
No, or they say, oh, I don't like the tweets. Everything else is amazing. They can't argue with any of the facts. Yeah, any of the economic
My taxes
numbers.
Are lower. The country's safer.
Yeah, and the media, they'll go and say, no, Americans aren't benefiting. And then they're literally out loud laughing. Well, they are, but we can say it, and they're going for it because it's all they see. So, I mean, it's why, you know, those who, you know, there's plenty that do it. You shouldn't tweet as much. Guess what? If he wasn't doing it, there would be exactly zero people, other than perhaps you and I, Charlie. Like, Kimberly. I'll give it to you, Princess. Okay, very. You know, I'll give
I'm
you that
favorite.
One. You know, out there saying it, and so you know he's been able to do it effectively, and he's been able to sort of play monkey in the middle with these people who aren't being honest dealers anymore, and you know it's driving them crazy. But it's been powerful because he's been able to drive the narrative. He's been able to get that real message out there. You know, and at least counter some, you know, of the bullshit that's so pervasive.
Totally.
In liberal media, which is basically all of
all media.
But guess what? Wait till the debates, because I went to almost every single one of them, covering them, right? Covering this American presidential election, which was like no other we've seen before. And I saw him one by one destroy people like Harvard National, 3-time debate champion, right? One after the next with the Republicans.
Disassemble them.
It was brutal. And then now look, who the heck are they going to put up against him that's going to be able to? Because now he has all the facts and an incredible record that he has been able to amass since he took office. All of that is on his side. You can't quarrel with those facts and the statistics. They're going to have to televise these debates and the people are going to
hear
it.
And that's the real difference. That's the, you know, in 2016, these were promises from an untested guy. You're selling a dream. It's no different.
Now we have results.
Now you actually
promises
have
made,
delivery. You have, you know, you've never seen a politician in the history of get more crap for doing all of the shit that he said he was going to do.
And then some.
I wish we held our politicians more accountable for saying things and not doing any of them.
Yeah, but Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi.
The president is actually getting held for doing all of the things America elected him to do.
They're reporting from the White House. Today, President Trump does what he said he was going to do. In fact, better, but there's something wrong with that.
Oh, my God!
Oh, my goodness! You're a promise keeper! Look, as April is closing and May is starting, there's so much excitement happening in sports. You got the NBA playoffs. Will the Warriors win another countless NBA title? I sure hope not. Seems like NBA basketball is not what it used to be. I'd love to actually bet against them because I want my money to go where I want things to happen. You got the Kentucky Derby, NHL playoffs, Blackhawks aren't there. So it's not what it used to be, but you got boxing fights in Vegas, Major League Baseball, and more. Go Cubs. Simply put, there's a ton of action. And there's only one place that has you covered, one place that you trust to actually wager and bet on these games. That's betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use that promo code podcast1 for your 50% welcome bonus. And look, I mean, you see right now, you got Steph Curry, you got the Golden State Warriors. Seems like they're just going to keep on winning finals. And they're up against Houston. I think Harden can make a real case right now, actually, for most valuable player. And honestly, it's a little refreshing to have an NBA playoffs. It's refreshing and surprising
to have an NBA playoffs without LeBron James. It's so different. It's like I'm wondering what team he's on, or is he hurt? Of course, he's not playing. But look, the Golden State Warriors, they're totally unbelievable, and I can't stand seeing them win. That's why I personally am going to place a bet against them. BetOnline.ag, I'm going to place a bet. I'm not going to tell you how much. I hope I'm going to make some money on it. But don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code PODCAST1 or text BETNOW to 238-669 to receive a 50% welcome bonus. I use it. You should use it. I use it to bet for the Chicago Cubs because go Cubs. We finally broke our 108-year drought. It's amazing. By the way, the best baseball team that no one talks about is the 05 White Sox. Might place a wager on them, but I'll definitely bet against the Golden State Warriors, and you should do. Maybe you'll bet for them or bet for, I don't know, whatever. You should. If you want to bet, you do betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. 2020 is going to be the most important election in our nation's history. Again, it's not even close. This election is freedom versus socialism. It's so important. President Trump and the RNC have already posted record fundraising numbers and assembled an outstanding staff. I know many of these people. They're really going to do a great job. But now they're asking for your help to build the winning grassroots support network. We need all of you. If you're listening to this and you agree with what I'm saying, we need you. I know Don's nodding his head. He's agreeing right now. Don totally agrees. Text Charlie to 80810 and receive official Trump alerts directly to your phone. You'll gain exclusive 2020 updates directly from President Trump himself. Be the first to know when new Trump merchandise is available, and you'll even be able to have your input on key issues to help shape the 2020 campaign. Again, all you have to do is text Charlie to CHARLIE to 80810. Look, we all know that the mainstream media will never be honest about President Trump and Republicans. Make sure you're getting your news directly from the source by texting Charlie to 80810. Again, be sure to text Charlie to 80810 today. This was paid for by the Trump Make America Great Again Committee, a joint fundraising committee authorized by and composed of Donald J. Trump for President, Inc., and the Republican National Committee that is dedicated to making America great again. So cool. Let's end the show today, just kind of wrapping all of it up. Yeah. And, you know, we talked about the landscape, all the successes of the Trump presidency and everything. But, you know, Don, the one thing I just want to ask, you know, in specific is, what do you think is the one thing that the president doesn't get enough credit for that he has done for the country or policy wise?
You know, honestly, I think just being the guy to finally take on PC culture. I mean, I think PC culture has run amok. I mean, people can't have regular conversation anymore without, you know, something being interpreted in a certain way that, by the way, any reasonable, you know, Occam's razor, like the most rational reason, like now it's like the 0.001% chance that this could be there, and if you add a comma and an exclamation point, it means something totally different. You know, you can't even have dialogue anymore. So I mean, I think people are excited to see someone take that crap on, because the reality is most people, even if they hate it, they're not willing to take it on. Again, there's consequences. They don't have the soapbox. They don't have the platform. So I think he's pushed back to have just normal people can react and speak in normal tones. To me, that's one of the biggest. And, you know, it seems like a little thing, but honestly, in the grand scheme of what you've seen, you know, PC culture do to just, you know, dialogue, I think it's incredible.
Well, mine is a little bit different. It's similar but different. I think because of how successful he has been, he has redefined now how we have to analyze all future presidents. Mm-hmm. Now we have to now there's a standard of how we have to analyze every single president. He's the most transparent president in American history. He's the most successful, definitely of my lifetime, and definitely in the last 100 years, if not 150. I mean, I can't think of a president who's done more in 2 years. I don't want to diminish wartime presidents when I say that, but still. And all of a sudden, every movement, every word gets psychoanalyzed.
And well, what you and I both know that will
Remember
never happen.
No, of course not. But that's the thing. But to go back at it, that will never happen.
It's only Trump, because they see him as the only real threat. Mm-hmm. You know, the rest, it would have been even any other conservative that was in that race. Fine, we'll put up with him for 4 years. We're not going to give him any breaks. We're not going to do.
They'll break.
They'll be back on. You know, it'll be back in our court in a few years. Trump. They're worried about a fundamental seismic shift.
That's right.
In the movement, in the way things are looked at, in what they've spent decades
trying to
instill. I'm really glad to see
just
it happen.
To your point, I think that he really should be commended, because he has been the greatest champion of freedom of speech and of the First Amendment. And he has opened up the White House, the presidency, American politics to the world and been incredibly transparent. They criticize him for the tweets, but they live and breathe for it like they're on life support. The second he tweets, it's up full screens across the world. They can't live without it.
He should have Twitter stopped, by the way.
To try to determine what he meant to decipher by Covfefe. I mean, it's that crazy, right? Well, but this is, but you know, he's to be applauded.
And he's redefined the presidency totally. And the biggest the takeaway I was trying to say is it makes you ask the question, what has the political class actually done in the last 40 years?
Nothing.
And that's what I'm saying is he has smashed the conventional wisdom. They've destroyed our country.
They've made themselves very wealthy and destroyed our country.
At our expense.
Of course.
And Donald Trump has done, if you actually look at what the president has done, he has made the parts of the country wealthier that he promised. I'll give you three examples. Mm-hmm. West Virginia was under attack under the Obama administration. Coal was under attack. Jobs were getting lost. What did Hillary Clinton do? She comes, she has a round table.
She says, she wants to put him out of job.
Yeah, we're going to put you out of work. We'll find you something else. Okay.
Learn to code.
Yeah, learn to code. Yeah, okay. To all our journalist friends out there. And then what does Trump do? West Virginia is booming now, mm-hmm. thanks to President Trump's policies.
Well, by the way, that's not just West Virginia, though. It's all energy. I mean, the notion that we were still going to import our
energy
oil and energy from, in many cases, our enemies, countries that would love to, if they could push a button and wipe us off the face of the earth, they would.
So like Iran.
We were still going to get it from them, mm-hmm. or we could produce it in our backyards, create jobs, create an economy, help drive prices down, you know, employ Americans, have some self-reliance.
Yeah. Tax base.
Well, how about national security? Economy. How about having your own energy supply is kind of relevant if you want to be a player in the world stage, yes. rather than be dependent on your enemies.
It's
insanity. And so, you know, he's done that. It's done wonders for the economy. It's done wonders for employment. And we've boosted our national security. I mean, we're a net energy exporter for the first time ever. Really ever, probably. But certainly, you know, since
at least in the modern era.
Too.
Yeah.
Well, and what he's done for the military and for the veterans. I mean, just with rules
the VA Accountability Act.
Unbelievable.
Well, and KG, you mentioned something, the right to try.
Yes, right to try.
Talk about
incredible.
This could actually end up solving cancer in the next 50
really
years.
It's really unbelievable because when you look at the most complex cases of people who are given essentially terminal sentences and said, here is a treatment plan, palliative care, which is basically akin to saying kind of hospice, there's nothing we can do. If you can solve and you can cure those cases, then you can cure all cancers, meaning anything stage 3B to stage 4, they're able to say when family members beg, please God, there's a clinical trial out there, or a drug that's off-label that could be used. For example, the drug Avastin was used for breast cancer, but they found out it was good for gastrointestinal and also colorectal cancers. Now there's drugs that literally are saving lives. Thanks to President Trump having the courage to tackle this problem and say, you will now get a chance to try this.
It's close to you, obviously.
I lost both my parents. You know, and I traveled all over the world trying to fight just to be able to get different drugs from my father.
But think about it. The regulators said, rather than testing it on people, it has to go through
who have no chance of living.
They're terminal.
Unfortunately.
And they're saying, please, give me
anything.
Hope. Why not? So you have the best resource, which is actually testing on people. You have the chance, we've run into them already on the road.
Saving lives.
God for you. This thing worked. I'm in remission. I was given 3 months to live before this.
Totally.
Think about how insane it was. Only government bureaucrats could do this because they said, well, we don't want to do this because if it fails and it doesn't work, so someone's on their deathbed and it doesn't work, guess what? That's going to happen a lot. But
the companies, too,
in their research, the companies would have to report that as a failed test rather than it was hopeless, but we gave it a shot anyway.
But then it screws up their data.
So it screws up their data. They couldn't do it. And the government, so we said,
what
why would you do
Trump
that?
Say?
You have a separate thing.
You have
it
a separate
hurt you
pool.
There. It doesn't
hurt
your permissions.
By the way,
they're giving you a total waiver. And we try.
The president figured this out in 20 minutes. It's a true story. The story doesn't get told. The president is sitting in a room. And you have the regulators on one side of the room, you have the drug companies, you have the hospitals, all these people, and they're saying, well, this is where it's screwed up because we want to be able to test the terminal patients, mm-hmm. but it screws up our data. And the president literally interjects and he says, well, what if you just create a different pool and we isolate the data away from the federal regulation?
You don't have to put it under
books, right? Silence in the room.
Because
they're like, well, we never thought of that before. So then he says, get me Paul Ryan on the phone, get me McConnell, draft the legislation, I'll sign it. And everybody's like, it's really that easy? We've been trying to do it for 30 years. The president negotiated that deal in 20 minutes that might end up solving cancer.
That's really incredible.
It's amazing. Or leukemia or whatever it is.
Leukemia is what my mother
did. And by the way, the media gave like no oxygen to this story.
Nah.
Why didn't Obama do this? Why didn't Obama sign prison reform? These are 90% issues, by the way.
Well, he was too busy getting accolades for things he didn't deserve. You know, it's
or spying on Trump. He was too busy authorizing FISA warrants.
True story.
Obama could have been doing actual things for the country. Instead, he was too busy spying on Trump, using the IRS to audit conservatives, or using his Department of Justice to traffic guns to Mexican cartels.
But there were no scandals in his administration.
No, of course. And we didn't give billions in cash to Iran on pallets. Right. And as your father says, the president, have you ever seen what billions look like on pallets?
Right.
It's huge, with a capital Y.
I mean, you can't just do that in the middle of the night. I mean, that's a huge, huge effort.
Look at the logistics. All the things he's done. How about the Paris Climate Change Accord?
Oh, my goodness.
Total job killer, subsidizing polluters. I spoke to the president that morning at 8 a.m.
And CO2
emissions.
Earth Day was recently. Happy Earth Day, because now our CO2 emissions are going down, which is great. Our productivity is going up. Everything the environmentalists pretend that they're for, the president is actually accomplishing.
But the only thing we didn't do is we didn't give trillions to guys that were going to waste
to China, who hates us,
while giving China and the world's biggest
competitive advantage,
you know, a 10-year pass before they have to do anything. And guess what happens in 10 years?
Same Earth.
You know what? We'll pass out. Give me a better deal.
Yeah, it's the same Earth.
Guess what? We share the same environment.
Yeah,
you know, they don't have to do anything. They don't even have to make an effort for 10 years. We're going to do that. We're going to stick that on American workers. We're going to ship their American dream abroad because we can't afford to do it. We're going to subsidize every other nation that wants to be a huge polluter. These people are morons.
And what were you saying?
Because it was a bad deal. It takes a businessman to look at it and say, this is a bad deal. It's a job killer for hardworking Americans. Why would we do this? Because
we want to make
friends internationally?
Problem, solution. And it's just from any objective analysis, he needs another 6 years, which obviously warrants re-election. And that's what really promises me about it is that, you know, Don, you and I were on that campaign trail saying, give us a shot. Because we're going to deliver it. Now we can go back and say,
it's how you and I met.
That's right.
A friend of ours said, you got to hear him out. I go, I got to hear out. Because you know the deal. On the campaign trail, everyone's got a plan. Everyone knows how to win.
Everyone has a manifesto.
Most of the time, it's total crap, right? I mean, this is not a top 1 billion issue, let alone a number one, and it's the winner. So I'm saying,
Kirk manifesto,
tell me a little bit about Charlie Kirk. Well, he's great. He's this. He's forgotten more about stuff than you ever know. Okay, give me a little bit more. He's, what, 21?
That was 21, yeah.
21. And I go, in all fairness, we already don't know anything about what's going on. Like, we're learning this stuff. I don't need someone else who doesn't know anything about what's going on. You know, luckily, Tommy and Junior actually did convince me to take that meeting, reluctantly, but I trust my friends. I took the meeting, and in 5 minutes, I basically go, congratulations, you're on the team, you're traveling with me. And we did some pretty cool stuff.
We really did, and I would say, I can say this, Don, you moved the needle in states that mattered.
I appreciate it.
We went to Michigan. You did more events than anyone else in the last 2 weeks in Michigan.
And
you did more events
in
Wisconsin. You did more events in Pennsylvania. And, of course, DJT worked his tail off, but so did you. And you went to Iowa, and you went to the Midland part, you know, the mid part of the country. You did cable news hits. I think in the last day, we did 81 interviews, radio interviews or something.
Well, I know in the last, I think it was like the last 3 hours, we moved east to west. You were in my office.
I was there. I was running point.
Charlie, congratulations. You're in charge of my social media. You're sitting at my desktop.
I was the comms director.
Well, I did 47 radio interviews going east to west, just screaming at people, get people out in the panhandle of Florida. As the time zones were changing, I was ranting and raving like a lunatic.
The margin in Michigan in particular was like 6,000, 7,000 votes, whatever the final count
just
was.
Just said wasn't attainable,
there.
Right?
But Don did over 20 events in Michigan. You did
in the last two, 3 weeks.
That you can make a compelling argument. That's the difference maker.
Right.
By the way, people were showing up for you, Don, former Democrats. Remember, we were in Macomb County, which was one of the difference maker counties that had not voted for Republicans since, I think, Abraham Lincoln.
He was getting a bigger job than Hillary Clinton.
Since, like, the annexation of Michigan. I don't think that it's ever been Republican. And yet, there were Democrats coming out, and they said, wow, now that I've seen Don Jr. up close and personal, I'm voting Trump tomorrow.
Yeah.
And there was 1,000 people in that room, and you have that. They all tell their friends, they tell this, the local media, the radio.
Absolutely, the ripples.
We were in Michigan the day before while the president went to Grand Rapids. We were in eastern Michigan. We were in Detroit.
Yeah.
And we were in Auburn Hills. And we were in downtown. Remember, we started the day at, like, a black cafe, right, with pastors that were like, you know, tell us why.
We actually did.
You know, and then you did it.
We did legitimately a Muslim barbecue joint in downtown Detroit. And it was like incredible.
It was unbelievable.
No jokes.
Yes.
Like, you know, we had the guts to go to all the places we weren't supposed to go and speak to people, you know, who if you spend a little time with them, could see through the bullshit that
Absolutely.
Was being sold to them
because
by the media.
Because there's more that unites us than divides us, and Trump gets
our message, which now looks like prophecy, if you actually go back to what we said. We said, the political class has ruined our country.
Mm-hmm.
We have a businessman who's going to do what he says he's going to do, revitalize the economy, and restore the spirit back to this country. And now we look 2 years later like, my goodness.
Well, really, it was like that a populist movement.
That happened. Not that it actually happened, because I didn't doubt it, because mm-hmm. I got to know you and I got to know the first family. But we were asking the American people to trust us, weren't we?
Yeah.
And now we go back and we say, let us keep doing it.
Yeah.
Right, let us continue what we promised.
By the way, you think well, 2016 was a much harder sell?
That's what I'm saying.
Right? Because then it was just, hey, it's a promise. Guess what? We've been made promises by every freaking
that's
politician
exactly
for the last
right.
100 years, and how many of them actually delivered? You know, very few, if any, delivered anything. Let alone, you know, an entire promises made, promises kept agenda. But now you go back and say, here are the facts. But again, you still have to get through the noise. You still have to get through the media filter. You still have to get through the lies, the torment, the. You know,
and I still
but
think
the president goes back there. To his credit and to your credit, we went and did all the 70 rallies during the midterm election. People were like, wow, the president's actually come back here. He didn't just go there to like pander for a vote.
Don Jr. and the president do not get the credit they deserve for mm-hmm. Josh Hawley and for getting rid of Claire McCaskill in Missouri and for getting rid of Heidi Heitkamp in North Dakota
yeah.
and getting rid of Joe Donnelly in Indiana mm-hmm. and that and kind of rebalancing the U.S. Senate, because the Senate is so important for personnel and all
well,
those
that's
sorts
what
of things.
They don't talk about. When you look at it, we basically had the same results in the House as Reagan, but we actually gained seats in the Senate. So in the
while last, Mueller was happening,
let's call it in the last 50
did.
Years, right? We probably actually had the most successful midterm. Now again, the Democrats got a lot of what you know the intended purpose of Mueller with you know his 19 leftist lawyers,
Andrew Weissman.
By keeping this thing going
leftists.
On, by keeping the doubt, by giving
sure.
no, it was
no, it's
not 100%. A single.
Yeah.
Hey, no one.
There were no Trump guys on
there's
that.
There's literally
team,
no
okay?
way you could have picked you know prosecutors at random that all happened to be Hillary donors. I mean, it was a setup from the beginning. So people have asked me, like, "Well, do you feel wrong about what you've said about no? Because the setup was there. It's just." Even those guys, and there's some shady characters in there. I'm not, beyond Mueller, but some of the people.
Andrew Weissman. And by the way, Peter Strzok was on the team.
Yeah. If they could concoct something even remotely saleable, they would have, in my opinion.
Of course.
They couldn't come up with anything, because guess what? Because there was nothing.
That's the thing.
Even those guys, even with that team, even with an unlimited budget and thousands of interviews and,
and as much time as he wanted.
Subpoenas and bullshit, couldn't come up with anything. But again, you still don't hear about it.
No.
You literally, you know, other than you know us being able to do our victory lap now, you still don't really hear. You still have the media saying, no, we got it mostly right. Like
the best revenge for the country will be 4 more years of President Trump.
100%.
And by the way, it's not even for us. You know, not even for your family, or not even for the
supporters. It's for America.
It's for
America.
The
country.
It's for the country.
And the hardworking men and women.
And this is what I love about this president. Even the people that hate him are doing better. Even Bernie Sanders,
who's
who rails against him, are paying less taxes.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's a populist.
Right. Even
populist.
Al Sharpton, who absolutely hates the president. Is seeing
no, you
he
know,
doesn't
he,
really
he
hate
doesn't.
Him.
It's a soundbite. Well, like, you know, the reality is, I see Al at a restaurant that we go to. I see him a couple times a week. You know what I mean? And we sit there and literally because guess what? They were friends before.
Right.
No.
There's a reason my father's in 150 rap songs. There's a reason there's pictures with him and Sharpton and Jesse Jackson, because that was a factor of New York politics.
Yeah.
They were buddies. Even honestly, I think Mike Tyson like last week said something. Hey, I'll never say anything bad about Trump.
And Tiger Woods.
He was there with you know with me, good, bad, and indifferent. Like hey, that's not easy for him to do. But you know, again, it's not easy to combat the sound bites, right?
No.
So, you know, everyone plays their game. I get it. It is just a game for these guys.
To our face.
You know, the reality is they didn't really have a problem until he was a Republican candidate for president.
That's right.
Before then, they were good buddies and good friends, and they'd speak to each other, and they'd see each other all the time, and there was never an issue. And then all of a sudden, obviously you're racist.
No.
I mean, I've had people, you know, talking about, he's an anti-Semite. And I'm like, I don't know. Send him to Israel. Let's see how. I mean, they literally want to rename parts of towns. They're renaming parts
of the Golan Heights after Trump.
Yes,
but he's an anti-Semite because no
he's
one
been the most pro-Israel
no one
American president.
Puts the other side in check. They can say whatever they want. It doesn't have to be factually accurate. It doesn't even have to be remotely true. They can just say it, and they get a hall pass anything.
Well, this has been fun, guys.
It has.
I think we're going to be doing some more soon. And, you know, this will be a check on the media. And just everyone who listens to this knows that there's a lot more out there than just what you get in the newspapers
on
the cycle
out
there.
It's like Field of Dreams. You're building
it,
they will come.
And so, well, thanks, Don and KG. It's been fun.
Thank you.
Charlie.
Please tune in every Wednesday subscribe. You can go to podcast1.com to subscribe. You can also go to Apple Podcasts, just type in The Charlie Kirk Show and press subscribe. We're so excited. Subscribe today.